This is the Doug Marrone Show.
The Doug Marrone Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman and J.P. Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Marrone Show starts right now.
Welcome into the Doug Marrone Show. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and head coach Doug Marrone. Here we go. The Jags and the San Francisco 49ers coming up in Week 16. What's up, coach?
How you doing? You doing well.
Great. Here we go. So it's pretty easy this week. Win, and you win the division. That's how you guys see it, right? Pretty simple.
Yeah. I mean, this week, obviously early in the week, we talked to the team about that. But it's just, at the end of the day, you win, and obviously that's what's the carrot, saying that's out there. But, you still have to, focus on the day, focus on what you're doing now, making sure you're prepared and, getting ready, because it's very difficult. Like I always say, and some people realize this, some people don't, but people in the NFL know it's very difficult to win on the road. And, we're about ready to go for a long road trip. We've been home for 3 weeks, which has been awesome, outstanding. The fans have been outstanding, and it's really helped our football team, but now we got to get ready to go on the road and be able to perform on Sunday.
The other thing, too, is that, when players turn on the film and you take a look at the 49ers and you're looking at the last three games, which is typically where how far the players go back, I mean, the film doesn't lie. I mean, you've got a team in the San Francisco 49ers that are playing good football. They've won three in a row. They've got a new guy playing quarterback, and he's doing well.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a team that, even though they might not, be in the playoff hunt, it's still, a very hot football team, a team that, wants to, continue to win, because there's Tony Dungy used to say this, there's two types of teams. There's teams that are, playing at the end of the year to get into playoffs or seed themselves or whatever it may be. And then there's the teams that are playing to make sure that they finish strong, so they have something to go into the following year. But, I think, this situation that we're going into is a little bit different. Trade deadline, quarterback, which, you really don't see that much. And then the quarterback, when Jimmy Garoppolo comes in and he's really, playing extremely well. He's a hot quarterback. And when quarterbacks play well, it doesn't only just help the offense, and that's what people are focused on, but obviously it helps their defense that, they're playing well. It helps special teams. It helps field position. There's a confidence. There's an aura. There's people that want to play for them. So there's a lot going on that's going to be a great challenge for our team going out to San Francisco.
Well, that could be said about your quarterback, too, Blake Bortles, right now. There's a lot of confidence. There's some aura around him right now, too.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but, I got asked that question in a press conference, and like I said, we're not playing against Blake.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But, and our quarterback, the way we go about it with Blake, and Blake understands this, which has been great, is that, hey, listen, we need to prove this every Sunday. And I got asked a great question along the lines, during the week of, coach, when did you know that this team would be, what they are? And this, I don't know if you know as a coach, because my explanation was, if it's on paper, it doesn't really mean anything. If you do it in practice, that's a good sign, but you've got to be able to go out there and perform. Like I've always said, this is a high performance, result oriented business, and the business is winning. And if you don't go out there on Sunday and do that, then don't expect the people to say good things about you. You have to consistently go out there every Sunday and win football games.
Your defense continues to play at a high level. And it's fun watching them week in and week out. It's almost as if every week brings a new challenge to them that they take. And it doesn't matter what it is. If it's the opportunity to squash a division opponent at home and they have a hot receiver, they want to squash a hot receiver. If it's a hot quarterback, they want to squash a hot quarterback. But I think that's the thing that's impressed me the most. It seems like every week the defense finds a reason to take it personal.
They do. And what's interesting about our defense, for me, and again, I'm not saying this is what it is, but this is what I see, when I'm in the meetings, is that, you have a unit. So you have, your defensive line, your linebackers, and your secondary. But then within our defense as a whole, there's challenges within the units, you know, where they take a lot of pride in making sure that, hey, listen, we're going to get after this or we're going to get after that. And but the one thing that I don't think people can see, you know, obviously because we have closed practices and the meetings aren't open to the public or the media, and I say this all the time, I don't think that players in general, and I'm going to talk about our players, get enough credit for the amount of studying that they do, not just in this building, but when they leave this building, and the way they work and prepare and practice and communicate. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, if people say, well, hey, you know, you guys have won 10 games right now, why have you won 10 games? It goes back to the players. It's the preparation of the players, the commitment of the players. You know, now during the year in the NFL, you know, everybody is sore, but it's about the players who are sore or they're hurting and their commitment, you know, to going out and winning football games. You know, that's what's going to be able to get it done late in the season.
You got a handful of those defensive players like that that are named to the Pro Bowl this week, too. A guy like Malik Jackson, who's battled through a groin issue earlier in the year and has been in the league now for a handful of years. Calais Campbell now in his 10th year in the league. Boye, Ramsey in the cornerback position. They fight each other all the time just to try to get better in the back end. I know away from the building, they're always on each other. Those guys, that's how it works for those guys.
Right, but I would say this about the players and talking about this is that, you know, we recognize the individual accomplishment, but at the end of the day, the priority is the team goals and what we're doing as a team. And I think that, you know, the players that have made that understand that, and they do give credit to their teammates, which I think is important. And at the end of the day, you know, there's also a lot of guys on our team that have played well enough, you know, to have that status, you know, in the NFL or, you know, the Pro Bowl status, but, you know, have it. So for us, it's, you know, we don't do a lot as a team to recognize the individual accomplishments. We do a lot of recognizing our team accomplishments.
Hey, because the reality is when the team accomplishments flow, everything else just kind of trails behind.
I agree. I mean, but that's something that, you know, we've never said, you know, I've never said, I can say to the team, I just, you know, talked about the team about, you know, as a coach, you're talking about putting the team first, putting the team first. I'm happy for those players. Our players are happy for them. But the greatest thing about those players that have made the Pro Bowl, they understand that they wouldn't be able to do that, Jeff, like you said, unless we were being successful. And every one of those players, I really believe in my heart, know that they wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for the other players on our team.
We'll come back a little more on the Jags offense, how they match up against the Niners defense. Robert Saleh leading the way in San Francisco. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
We're back. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, head coach Doug Marrone. The Doug Marrone Show continues. Jaguars offense. We touched on Blake a moment ago, but he's coming off his best rating in his career, the best three-game stretch he's had in his career. And I think we'll ask you something similar about him every week. He just continues as the season goes on to get better and better and better, it seems like.
Well, you know, he's putting a lot of work in, and, you know, it starts with the preparation early in the week, making sure, you know, that, you know, he has a good concept of what people are trying to do and how they're trying to stop us. And then, you know, going out there each and every day and working on the practice field and working extremely hard. So, you know, he's earned, you know, what he's doing right now. I mean, it's not something that is just, you know, a lot of people say, well, what just happened? You know, it's like, you know, magic. But I think, you know, when you go in depth of everything, he's really only been in the system that we're in now for a year. And you can see now where, you know, the confidence level, and as Coach Hackett would say, you know, he seems to be owning it right now. You can see that. And, you know, people would assume that because of last year when Coach Hackett took over that it's just been the same system, but it's not, you know. So we had to, you know, work within the system that we were dealt with last year and didn't want to make any major changes because that would be, you know, critical, you know, to the quarterback and not knowing whether, you know, Coach Acker was going to be here or where the future was of the team. You know, then when we came back, we're like, okay, here we go. This is going to be our system. You got to learn the system. And I think you're seeing a quarterback that's getting more comfortable with it. And I think that's why you're seeing the ball being distributed, you know, throughout, you know, to the young players, because, you know, now it's the system starting to go and he's starting to feel comfortable with it, in it, and believing in it, which just takes repetitions, and he's playing at a level that, you know, it's high right now, but we understand, you know, and like we always talk about is, you know, to not just Blake, but to everyone, is that, you know, you got to go out there each Sunday and be able to prove it.
I think the impressive thing has been is that he's got, you know, young receivers that have been playing over the last 3 weeks, and the number of deep balls, I think, have gone up, and his deep ball accuracy over the last 3 weeks have certainly been better. You know, and you got to give credit to a lot of people. Blake, I mean, the young wide receivers for the job that they're doing. And also, I keep going back to this because the last couple of weeks, watching Blake in the pocket and to be unmolested in the pocket and to have a very stiff pocket up front to where he can move and climb that pocket and completely free has got to help any quarterback's confidence.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think any time that the quarterback feels that he can step up, you know, the difference is when a quarterback steps up in the pocket, he still has the ability to keep his eyes down the field. You know, when you see quarterbacks escaping right or left, it's very difficult, you know, because they're usually concerned about what's coming from behind them or, you know, what's in front of them or getting out of it. So, you know, that's been great. And like I said, he's been, you know, throwing well, and those young receivers have been playing well. And, you know, we need to keep that going for us to be successful. We understand that.
Well, and the 49ers present, you know, obviously a different set of challenges every week. And from watching some of the film on these guys, the challenges up in the front seven, I think, are some of the biggest ones. DeForest Buckner playing defensive tackle, a little bit of defensive end, is a very good football player for them. Reuben Foster, Solomon Thomas, another first-round pick that they've got. They've got a lot of high picks on that defense. And looking at the stats, they're, you know, over the last, what is it, I think six games, they're like top five in the league in defense as far as yards allowed per game. So they've gotten better.
Well, I think, like you said, it's the same situation of what we're talking about with our quarterback, you know, in the system. You know, they're a new staff, and Robert Salah is there, who's a very knowledgeable coach and understands the system inside and out. And what you're seeing is, you know, the players having, you know, feeling very comfortable in that system and being able to play. You know, as the season's gone on, they've been able to play faster and faster and faster, and that's going to be a great challenge for, you know, not just our guys up front, but, you know, all 11 of our players on offense.
All right, Doug, we're going to take you to pregame. It's around 1 o'clock, 1:30 Eastern time on Sunday. You guys are getting warmed up, loose, about to go to the stadium in San Francisco, in Santa Clara. Do you watch the scoreboard on the other side of the early game, the Titans game? Do you worry about any of the early result that day?
What time is it?
1 o'clock kick.
Yeah, but what time are you asking me? Am I?
Oh, it's like during the first quarter. No, it'd be like during the first quarter of the Titans game. They're at 1, and then you guys are at 4:05. Do you even worry about them?
No, yeah. I'm worried about our football team, you know, and you know what we have to do in going out there, because I have, you know, pretty much routine. You know, I get to the stadium early, you know, pretty much, you know, get changed the same way, get out my prayer cards, get the rosary out, go through that, get that done, put that away so I know that part of my life is set. And then, you know, after that, I take the game plans out, go through all three game plans, highlight some things, you know, everything that's going on. Sometimes I'll take a walk out there just to see the wind and the sun, and you know, mostly at away games I'll do that real early, but I try not to get on the field. Then I come back in and make sure everything's right for the players and going on, and as the coaches come in, you know, we'll have conversations just kind of going over last minute things. I just always remember as a player in Miami, the one thing that, you know, everyone would always say is don't ever say that the hay is in the barn. And that was Coach Shula's big thing. He felt that you can continue to coach all the way through a game. So he never wanted to hear that statement. So, you know, he was constantly preparing, constantly working, constantly going, you know. So for me, you know, I'm going through all the situations in my mind that can occur and what can happen and just making sure that we're all ready. So I'm not really concerned, you know, once I get to the stadium. You know, my focus is just on being able to, you know, get the team ready to play and just make sure I grab a little protein so, you know, I have that on the sideline to help me. Because a lot of times I just wake up and I don't – it's the only time probably in my life
– that you're not thinking about eating.
Yes, exactly. It's probably the only time in my life that I kind of wake up and I'm not like the first thing on my mind is not, what am I eating today? Which is a problem for me. You know, I'm an overeater. You know, and usually every day if I'm not coaching football – if I wasn't coaching football, I'd be like probably 450.
I didn't even notice, Doug. I was going to say a thing.
So. No, that's all right. I mean, you know, everyone, you know. I know I look a lot bigger on TV right now, but I'm really a lot skinnier than I am right now.
I guess the point is, if the division is clinched before you kick off, it doesn't change your approach at all. You're still going out to get this game.
Yeah.
No doubt. Well, there's 16 games on the schedule. You'll win them.
Right? I've got to say this, and I go back to what Coach Coughlin said. If we were going to eat breakfast, we were talking about who's winning breakfast or who's eating lunch, whatever the quote was. And I think that's the mentality. You know, if they're going to keep score, and that's always been my deal. If it didn't mean anything, then let's not keep score. Let's just go out there and
scrimmage.
Just, like scrimmage, whatever, right. Yeah. As long as it's keeping score, I mean, and there's a mentality and a focus about winning that's important. You know, winning – you know, like, and this is not my quote, obviously, but, you know, winning can become a habit, but unfortunately so can losing, you know, and that's the one thing that, you know, we want to go out there and win and everything that we do. So, you know, for us, we're going out there to win a football game, and we know we're going to be challenged, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, how they're playing, how hot they are, and what they're doing, and everything about them. And, you know, we're going out there in a focus that we know that if we can win this game, you know, we don't have to look at any scoreboards or look for any help or look for anything else. And, you know, and that's the position that we tried to put ourselves in. And we need to take advantage of that position. It's time for us to go out there and get on the road and go to the West Coast and win a football game.
And the other thing, too, is
that – got me fired up.
I'm ready.
I'm ready. I'm going to run out the tunnel right now.
Let's I mean, I'm ready to start throwing some, you know, words in there and stuff that, you know, beat, you know.
There's more to it. JP, there's more to it than one game. I mean, look, you play to win every game, but then also there's other things that could happen down the road by winning.
I just think if
simple.
You – let's just go out there and win all our games, and then we'll see what happens. I mean, that's how I look at it. You know, when you start saying, well, you know, and all of a sudden you start coming off the, you know, your talk about – that's all we've talked about. So why are we coming off that now? We're not. And I think that's what this team understands. You know, when we go out there, we take that field, you know, why do we work so hard? So here's my question to you.
Hit me.
So we've gone out there Wednesday, worked our butts off.
That's right.
Gone out there Thursday, worked our butts off. Mm-hmm. Worked like heck on Friday, did everything we have to do, rest-wise, nutrition-wise, committed to this trip. And then we go out there, and then all of a sudden we're going to rely on someone else, go, you know what? It's okay now. Not going to happen.
Yeah, right.
You put in that much work, you got to go out there, and you want to make sure that you can perform, and that's I don't know. That's just how I feel.
Love it. I'm fired up now. Let's go play some football.
I brought myself back down.
I'm glad you didn't jump across me to get to JP on the question.
No, it's like a lot of times people say, well, you know, on the sideline. I'm like, yeah, that's the sideline. That's because there's TV out there. You know, when little cameras – and then it's the same like after the game. Like I always try to – I know there's cameras around, so I always try to keep it. You know, but before the game, the night before the game, I am one fired up individual.
Love it. Doug, good luck this weekend, and Merry Christmas if we don't see you.
Yes, happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Doug Marrone, Jaguars head coach with us. This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
Doug Marrone's show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, head coach Doug Marrone out of here tonight. Jags and the Niners coming up Sunday. Christmas Eve football at Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium.
I'm just glad Doug didn't come after you, JP.
I loved it. I love that. It's great. I knew I'd get him going with that. That was pretty easy.
The reality is that, you know, first of all, when you're preparing for a game, you're so tunnel vision, you're not going to pay attention to that, I think, as a coach and as a player. But then also, you're playing for more than just the division. I mean,
there's no doubt.
You know, so
seeding and everything.
You want to win the division, and you want to win it. You don't want to just get
back
it.
Backdoor into
yes,
it.
Yes, right. You want to win it. And then you also, you know, have a legitimate opportunity to advance to the one or the two seed. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. And I know that both Pittsburgh and New England play opponents that many people assume that they will beat. But
the Bills are still fighting for their lives.
You can't assume anything.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you go out there and you play to win because there is a chance that you're playing for a lot of things, you know. So I think this is going to be a football game, and I don't want to say it's going to be along the lines of what they were able to do to the Houston Texans here because that was just – you know,
a
rear end
a
kicking.
No, it doesn't
okay,
happen a lot.
That was a thumping, a whooping, whatever you want to call it. I think the 49ers are a better team than the Texans. Certainly, they're getting much better play out of their quarterback position, obviously with Jimmy Garoppolo. So they are a very different team. Now, you know, it was interesting watching the film this week because you know I watched the three games that Jimmy Garoppolo plays, and I said, you know what, let me go back one more game just to watch that fourth game, and it's against Seattle, okay, and Seattle doesn't have all their, you know, components of their defense, and C.J. Beathard is at quarterback. And I'm going to tell you now, it looked like a completely different team.
Not even close.
No, wasn't even the same. Receivers didn't look as good. Mm-hmm. The backs didn't look as good. The offensive linemen didn't look as good. Well, why? Because the trigger man. Jimmy Garoppolo is much better than a rookie draft pick, C.J. Beathard, playing against, you know, anybody. So this is I don't want to say a hot team in the 49ers because, I mean, they haven't beat, you know, some really great football teams. But, look, they're hot by NFL standards. They won three in a row and four out of the last five. This is not going to be the Texans, I can tell you that.
And if they finish strong down the stretch here over the last 2 weeks, then they've got something to build around in the offseason to go into 2018.
Yeah, and because you know what? That's what that organization – that's the mode that they're in right
that's
now.
That's right.
Okay, they've got –
we've been there before, too.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got a first-year head coach, a first-year general manager, okay, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, okay? And they're building for the future, you know, and they think that maybe they've got a franchise quarterback if they can keep him contractually going forward. You know, so they're building. You know, they're building. So even though they're out of contention, you know, like the Colts or the Texans, playing them at this time of the year, I don't think they don't have any positive outlook of finishing the year strong for next year. They'd like to, and they'll talk about that, mm-hmm. but the reality is the feeling's not there. But with a first-year, you know, not an organization, but a first-year, you know, helm, people at the helm, you know, in their first year, yeah. The feeling is different. The feeling is that we're building something That's here. Right. Let's finish strong.
What do you make of the West Coast Jaguar thing? Why has that been such an
I don't make
an
anything
issue?
Of it, JP, because here's the reality. If you're a good football team, you can travel to the West Coast and have success. If you're a good football team and you're a West Coast team and you travel to the East Coast, you play well.
Yeah.
If you're not a good team, you don't travel well anywhere. I don't care if you're going to the West, if you're going to the East, to the North, or the South. That's the reality. So I don't make anything of it, you know, because if you compare what the Jaguars' record has been, okay, seasons-wise, compare that to what they've done traveling West in those seasons, hasn't been good on either one. Good teams travel well. This is a good team.
Yes, it is. It is a very good team. We'll come back. A little more on the Pro Bowl selections for the Jaguars. We'll get your thoughts on those and some guys that may have been snubbed and were telling us about it in the locker room this week, too. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Not really upset, but more so, it's just amusing a little bit to me. It's just funny. You see guys go in front of you that don't even have the numbers you have, so you really want to know where the decision's coming from. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm happy for my teammates that made it to the Pro Bowl, ecstatic, and I feel like I should have been in there as well. But, you know, they made the decision. I'm an alternate, and, you know, just go from there. Right now, we just focus on the playoffs, though.
That's Yannick Ngakoue in the locker room this week, asked about missing the Pro Bowl. Doug Marrone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, head coach Doug Marrone out of here. Four players in, Clayus Campbell, Malik Jackson, A.J. Boye, Jalen Ramsey, all worthy, of course. But a handful of other guys are certainly worthy. And they'll get some alternate status, so you should see some other names pop up as some other guys fall out of the ballgame in a couple of weeks here. But Ngakoue's right there, 11-sack season, second season in the league. It is, it's kind of a popularity contest a lot of times for this Pro Bowl, right?
Well, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, you know, look at, if you looked at strictly the sack numbers, okay, because who made it was Joey Bosa, and I'm trying to think of the other one. Calais Campbell, Joey Bosa, and there's one other one I'm trying to think of I'm missing out on here. Mm-hmm. You know, the numbers are very similar. You know, I think the one difference is, if you look at it from a number standpoint, is that Yannick's numbers against the run, the number of tackles aren't quite as high. But, you know, you can't say that, you know, look, Joey Bosa doesn't deserve to go to a Pro Bowl. I mean, he's a fantastic player, and
sure,
so is Yannick Ngakoue. But here's the thing that I think that also helps, and that
– Khalil Mack, Raiders.
Khalil Mack.
One, yeah.
You know, and you could make the argument that Yannick should have gone over, you know, him, Khalil Mack, because, you know, better team, mm-hmm, very similar numbers. But, you know, how many years have we known about Khalil Mack?
A little while longer than you.
Yeah, and yeah, see, that's kind of where, you know, that gives you the advantage. You know, and I've always said this, that, you know, if you're going to make a Pro Bowl, typically it takes, you know, and Jacksonville is at a little disadvantage because it's a smaller market. It doesn't get as much national play. The Raiders have gotten more play, so the fan votes, you know, obviously are going to go more towards Khalil Mack. He was a high draft pick, had a lot of notoriety as soon as he stepped into the league. So that gives him an advantage. But, you know, typically the old rule of thumb is that if you want to go to the Pro Bowl, you need to have a successful year to get the recognition and then the second successful year to get the votes, which Calais Campbell and Malik Jackson are a little different now, okay, because Malik – gained some notoriety. He was with, you know, Super Bowl, you know, champion Denver Broncos last year.
Big contract.
Well, he got a big contract. And then last year he had pretty good numbers. You know, he had a career-high 6.5 sacks, which for an interior rusher is very good numbers. And then also it helps that Malik Jackson, because of his numbers, that helps him a ton. He's second amongst all National Football League defensive tackles in sacks. And so a lot of the players that don't see somebody, the first thing they look at with defensive linemen is sack numbers. And then after that, it's name recognition and, you know, familiarity with the player. So in Calais, obviously, people know who Calais is. Look, he's been a great player for a long time. A.J. Boye, he's got the numbers, okay? Six interceptions. It's right amongst top in the league. Jalen Ramsey certainly was some of the things with A.J. Green. That probably helped him out in the Pro Bowl voting.
I would say so, sure.
You know, because it's gained him some recognition. And also just because he's a fantastic player and the corners in the league obviously can recognize that. But, you know, kudos to all of them. And Yannick Ngakoue is a fantastic football player. But the one thing I will say, look, Pro Bowls are great. There's nothing better than playoff games and the opportunity to win a Super Bowl, and that's the most important thing.
Hopefully none of the players are in the Pro Bowl because they're getting ready for the Super Bowl.
That's
ideal,
you know, look,
setup.
You know, look, when you if you have a team, and I don't think this is the case, and you know, and I know that Yannick was like, look, you know, he's kind of disappointed. Rightly so. He's got great numbers, and he's a fantastic player. But I don't think that's going to bother him, you know, because this is a very unique team, and it's about team with them. And that's the most important thing, and I don't think it's going to deter their focus because you didn't make a Pro Bowl. You know, the reality is this team is worried about one thing, and that's being a great team and proving people wrong along the way.
And they've built that as the season has gone on, and now it's come to a head here with a chance to win the division this Sunday.
Great
in
chance.
San Francisco.
Great chance. You know,
that's all you want.
As much as we you know, give, you know, boy, Jimmy Garoppolo is a great player, which he is. I mean, look, in the numbers, you know, back it up. I mean, let me throw some numbers out to you.
Oh, please, yes.
Then I'll give you some weaknesses. In the last, you know, three games, which he has been a starter, he has had over 1,000 yards passing, okay? His completion percentage is almost 70%. In fact, it's exactly 68.7. His quarterback rating is a 98.0. Yeah. And he's not in the league rankings right now because he doesn't have enough starts and enough numbers to qualify for the league rankings. But if you tried to insert his passer rating into the rankings, he would actually knock Aaron Rodgers out of 10th place and be the 10th overall rated quarterback in the National Football League. The other thing that is impressive about him if you look at his numbers when he has a clean pocket versus when he's under pressure, your first thought is, like most quarterbacks, the numbers drop when he's under pressure. His numbers, his yards per attempt, actually increases when he's under pressure, which is very unique for, you know, still relatively young quarterback. But he also, he takes some chances when he's under pressure. He will fling the ball up a little bit. And he does not have, you know, he's not Russell Wilson. He's not Blake Bortles. You know, he has decent mobility, but he's not extremely mobile. So, I mean, there are some things that they can take advantage of. And he's got some weapons now, and he's using them all.
We'll come back with more. The Jags and the 49ers coming up Sunday in Santa Clara. Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their five convenient lots. Tickets start at just $8. And if the Jags win the division, they're guaranteed a home playoff game here at EverBank Field. This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Pretty easy. He's incredible. You know, it's kind of the first play he was out there. He was making sure everybody was lined up right and knew what they were doing. You know, being out there with Keelan and Dee Dee and the young guys. So it's good to have him back. You know, he's always in the right spot. He's helping guys out. You know, he makes my job a lot easier. So it's good to see him back running around.
It's Blake Bortles discussing Allen Hurns back in the practice field this week. Could get some time. Jaguar.
Could?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to get some time.
Doug Marrone Show continues. And, boy, they did it last week with three young receivers, two rookies and a first-year player, and they lit up the Texans last week. That was awesome to see from the young guys. You still want some veteran presence in there. It'd be nice to have Hurns back in that regard. But where do you put him right now?
Hurns?
Yeah.
Well, right back at his spot.
Okay.
Yeah, right back at his spot. And, you know, you've got – you know, some opportunities to put the other young guys in where you want. You know, I think the one guy, though, that, you know, really jumped out last week, and a lot of people, first reaction, because I'm the president of the Jadon Mickens fan club.
Yes,
say,
you are.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
Yeah, yeah. But I would actually say Keelan Cole. You know, I mean, he, you know, when we talked about him in camp, you know, you almost were kind of hesitant to talk glowingly about, you know, this undrafted rookie from Kentucky Wesleyan, because you were like, he went to Kentucky Wesleyan?
Yeah, there's no way,
and
right?
And he was undrafted?
Yeah.
And you were like, gosh, I don't want to get ahead of myself. You know, and you know, you almost like, you don't want to make a positive comment and give a glowing report on this guy because is it too good to be true?
Yeah.
Does he have a character flaw? When he gets in a game, does he just melt? You know, is there something about him? But then it just, like, it kept happening. Every day he was putting in a better practice, and then another better practice, and another really good practice. And you're like, well, you know what? When you start doing it every time, you know,
you're pretty good.
Then you got to believe, right? And, you know, and he had a marvelous day. I mean, to have, you know, nearly 200 yards receiving, seven catches for 186 yards is an unbelievable day. And if you compare him, you know, because there's a lot of high first-round pick draft picks now. Okay, Corey Davis went to the Titans. Mike Williams goes to the Chargers. They've obviously have had injury concerns. But right now he's fifth among rookies in receiving in the National Football League. We're talking about an undrafted guy from Kentucky Wesleyan. And I don't know which scout found him in Dave Caldwell's department, but whoever found him and pushed to sign him needs to get a Christmas bonus. Okay, because it was a great find.
A bonus.
You know, yeah. And here's the other thing. He is leading the league in yards per reception. 19.1, I believe it is. Is it 19.1?
Wow, that's incredible, man.
It's 19.0. 19 yards a catch, leading the league. That's unbelievable. You know, and he's had three consecutive games with a touchdown catch. You know, so I'll be the president of his fan club too.
You're just going to take over.
Yeah, no, he's been marvelous, and you know, in the job that Jadon Mickens did, fantastic. You know, Marquise goes down with an ankle injury to step in. You know, and you could just see that he works hard for his quarterback. One of the two touchdown catches were great because they were great effort plays. The one where he dove to the end zone was a great effort play to get the ball in the end zone. The other one where he comes in on it like a crossing route, the effort to find the opening and to gain just an inch of separation for Blake to get that ball in there, great job. But the one that really impressed me was the little out and up that he ran. And it wasn't because it was such a great route. It was a good route. They're trying to rub the guy off because it's man coverage. But the acceleration that he displayed on that to run away from the nickelback that had him in man, that nickelback never had a chance because of the acceleration that Jadon Mickens had. So, I mean, kudos to both of them. I mean, fantastic. And Didi.
Yeah, about to say, Didi Westbrook overshadowed a little bit last week, but he's still playing at a pretty high level.
Well, he's still a marvelous player. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, he had two catches for 21 yards, you know, and the other two guys. But that's great. You know, look, when you start taking turns, you know, and who has a big game, as long as somebody's having a big game, that's what it's about. You know, when you're talking about a team, you know, because it doesn't matter who gets the balls. As long as somebody's getting the balls and they're making something happen. But credit to Blake Bortles, you know, and I'll say this again, credit to the offensive line. The job that those three guys up front did, you know, and I'm talking about Linder, Omame, and A.J. Cam, are giving him the ability to step up in the pocket with confidence, and there's very little push up front.
We'll return with a little trash talk.
By
the quarterback. In response to some trash talk earlier in the week.
Yeah, I got you.
You know where I'm going.
Yeah.
We'll come back and explain it.
And I know where you're going.
This is the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
You know, I've heard a lot of stuff. I'd imagine the stuff that I didn't see somebody told me. I'm sure there's things out there that, you know, I have no idea about. You know, but I could care less. You know, if how, you know, we're playing and how I'm playing is, you know, if that's trash, then I'm fine with being trash.
There's Blake Bortles Wednesday in response to a question about other players talking about his play. The Doug Marone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Doug Marone joined us in the first half hour tonight. So, that's one thing, the quarterback responding, noteworthy, and a great soundbite, obviously, after Jadeveon Clowney's comments.
Well, let me say this. First of all, I think Blake handles it perfectly.
Oh, that's pure. That's vintage Blake right there.
Well, just, I mean, he's
even keel, whatever.
Yeah, he's just like, well, whatever, you know? And it's a great attitude to have, you know, because I think in today's day and age of, you know, where, you know, social media is so prevalent amongst players, you know, the ability to kind of just, you know, brush it off that he has done, I think is commendable.
Brushed it off, but had a little poke there at the end with the trash.
Sure. But without being, you know, ridiculous.
Right. They already beat him 70-something to 14. Like, yeah. Why do you need to rub it in? Well, Jaguars Twitter is rubbing it in, by the way, today. A number of people on the Jaguars Twitter have bought trash cans on Amazon and gifted them to Jadeveon Clowney at the Texans facility.
Nice.
And put photos of their confirmation. So it should be a busy few days in the mailroom in Houston coming up.
Very, I think it's great.
Funny.
You know, and look, I mean, the last 2 weeks, Earl Thomas, you know, called Blake subpar and totally out of line. Totally lacking class. You know, we're talking about, you know, a really good football player, veteran football player that should know better, that has been around the block. And I was embarrassed for Earl Thomas. I mean, I thought that he should have been embarrassed by those comments. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you're calling, you know, this guy a subpar quarterback and then they just came out and whooped you, okay, and the game was closer than it should have been, then what is that saying about your defense? Because the game that he had was fantastic. And then Clowney obviously wants to kind of, you know, ride the coattails of that comment and call, you know, the quarterback trash when Blake had his career best day against them. So, well, what is that saying about your defense, Clowney?
Right.
You know, so you know, I don't get it. You know, I mean, what happened to the day and age of, you know, look, if somebody plays well,
he played great, he'd be
congratulate him.
Yeah.
You know, and then the next time you play him, then you want to try to change the, you know, the narrative. But that's I thought that was embarrassing on both players' parts. And I think it's great that Jaguars fans are sending them trash can. But I would just say this: if you want to do it, don't spend a whole lot of money.
No, God.
I mean, you know, have some fun and send them like a little mini trash can, like a bathroom can.
Right, and use like the 3-day shipping. Don't do it overnight.
Yeah. You definitely don't do it overnight.
He doesn't need it before Christmas. No. He's got plenty of others on the way, it sounds like. So you never partook in anything like that as a player, did you? You're always the gentleman that reached across the aisle there.
Probably not all the time. You know, but I mean, at the end of the game, you shake hands and, you know, and you move on.
You never went to the media with
No, you don't say stuff like that. I mean, it's just, I mean, what good does it do? You know, does it make you feel better? I mean, it never made me feel better, so I didn't do it. You know, but the best way to talk is to do it on the field. And I'm not talking about literally talking on the field with, like, trash talking. I'm just saying let your play do the talk.
Well, our guys do both pretty well, in fact.
Well, there's a couple guys now that do really good. You know, Jalen Ramsey's pretty good at it, you know.
Quarterback's not bad at it now.
I'm
don't
sure Blake does pretty good, too, you know. Yeah. You know, that wasn't my game.
We'll come back and wrap up the week ahead of this Week 16 matchup. In Santa Clara, California, the Jags and the 49ers coming up. This is the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio.
We just kept adding the winners. We kept adding the winners. That's maybe all we needed. We needed them few extra pieces to put the whole puzzle together, along with Coach Doug, Coach Coughlin. Yeah, I mean, it's just a test of the whole team, really. If you're a dog, you're a dog at the end of the day. So it's people who, you know, we had dogs on the team last year. It's just we didn't have as many as we have now. So now we got more dogs. And like I just said, you keep putting all those guys together, and it's just going, that's what your team turns into.
There's Jalen Ramsey in the locker room today. A lot of dogs on this defense. Final moments of the Doug Marone Show, not the Dog Marone Show, on Jaguars Radio. J.P. Shattuck, Jeff Lagerman, and yes, on our flagship station coming up in mere moments. It's Jaguars Thursday. Tony Boselli is in the flesh tonight. What's up?
No more Thursday night, so I'm here.
You're here the rest of the way.
Rest of the way.
How so lucky are you?
Bring us food since you like haven't been here all
come on.
Thursday.
No, get a Christmas. You know, you
bring us I went something. To the Christmas party for a second. Check that out there.
Oh, well, that must be nice. We're going after. I mean, going after this maybe if we get out in time. I don't know. We'll see. Thanks a lot for bringing some eggnog or beef or something down here. Thanks.
Beef?
Thanks
beef.
A lot. I don't Jay, know. Roast? Jay,
beef? Yeah.
Something? I think of a lot of things that he could bring us
eggnog
down.
Eggnog beef.
You know, I mean, you know, bring me a cold beer. You know, bring me some chips. I mean, and JP, beef. Bring me some beef.
Where's the beef, man? Come on.
It's unreal. So, yeah.
It just goes to show where your mind is at.
We've got another hour
bring me
of this
the beef.
Coming up.
We've got plenty of time left.
Yeah. So, a quick thought on Ramsey. There are dogs on this team. They have guys that they felt they had some last year. They added some pieces in the offseason. This is a group that's ready to just finish this thing strong, man, it seems like.
Well, they had good players last year, but they added more. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not a tough formula. More good players is better than less good players, and I think the coaching staff's done an outstanding job. We've talked about that. I mean, just the mentality of this football team. I think the identity was set in training camp, what they're going to be, a great defense, physical, run the ball, and kind of play smart football. And it's worked out. But, yeah, they have the addition defensively of Clayus Campbell and A.J. Boye are just – those are two Pro Bowl players that you added to a defense that, by the way, was sixth in the NFL last year.
And you talk about, you also have to give credit to the development of the guys you already had.
Sure.
You know, Ngakoue taking a step up, Miles Jack taking a step up, Dante Fowler taking a step up, Telvin Smith continuing, you know, to take
maybe
steps.
The biggest Pro Bowl snub, too, is him not being in that game.
Yeah, and I think being inactive the last 2 weeks, you know, right when it comes down to crunch time, you know, and look at linebackers kind of an odd position to make it at, you know, because if you're a middle backer, then you have to be a tackling machine. And I don't know what category that Telvin was actually put in, but, you know, if you have a linebacker that has a ton of sacks, then that guy's probably going to get, you know, the vote. You know,
yeah,
so
usually the outside linebackers, the guys who make the Pro Bowl are 3-4 linebackers.
Like a Von Miller or somebody would be there.
Yeah, so it's a completely different position, by the way.
It's totally different because, you know, I mean, Telvin's a will. Okay, he's a weak side, inside backer. You know, so you've got 3-4 backers that, you know, what category is Telvin in? If you know, do you put him as a middle backer? Do you put him as an outside backer? You know, so it's always hard for wills, true wills, to take it.
All right, the Jags and the Niners coming up Sunday. The Jags will travel Saturday to Santa Clara, staying in Palo Alto.
Long trip.
Kick it off Sunday, Christmas Eve, back home Christmas morning, bright and early for the kids. On our flagship station, Jaguars Thursday is next. Thanks for listening to the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.